if we live by the Spirit. It's impossible to walk by the Spirit unless we live by the Spirit. And in order to live by the Spirit, you have to know and have faith for what happened at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for you. And that's a realization that we come into in our walk. But I'm really concerned right now that the body doesn't have a great deal of faith for who we are in Christ Jesus. That we are really a new creation. Don Fotenauer once said, he said, the genetics of a Christian are not posted any place in science. You can't find the DNA of a Christian in a science book. You're of a different creation. We are of a different creation. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. John 1:12 it says, but as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. We are an extraordinary people. We are a supernatural people. And we must come into that revelation, especially in these days. John 3:6 says this, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So what is it to live by the Spirit? Well, when we were born again, we received the Spirit of Jesus in us. And He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. To live by the Spirit means to be surrendered completely to the Spirit. Be listening to the Spirit. Surrendered to Him. Living by the Spirit. And like I was saying, what the Lord was saying to you, Peter, you can live by the Spirit, you can hear the Spirit, but then to walk it out takes a little bit more. To be able to walk out what the Spirit is saying in you. So if we're going to live by the Spirit, don't stop there. Walk it out. Be obedient. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things you please. The flesh and the Spirit. As a Christian, we need to desire and to press in to walk by the Spirit. I think Jay Bunker said it best. We got a little boom going on there. I don't know what it is. Jay Bunker said it here a couple of weeks ago, and I think he said it one other time too. We are not an earthly being having a spiritual experience. Okay? We're a spiritual being having an earthly experience. Now, if you get that right in your head, it changes the way you operate on this earth. You're a spiritual being. Colossians says you've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in a new kingdom. You are of a kingdom which is called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of His beloved Son, Jesus. You are in and have been placed in a different kingdom. So you're a new creature in Christ. You're no longer of the flesh, you're of the Spirit. You're a spiritual being now having an earthly experience. That's really comforting, especially during political times when you're worrying about who to vote for. Maybe you don't have a candidate. Maybe you say, you know, I'm not even going to vote this year. But the comforting thing is, the kingdom that you are in, the citizenship where you belong, has one king, and he's not up for re-election. You got to have some comfort in that. That your king has an eternal, term. There's a term limit on our God. It's one and forever. He will never be up for re-election. But our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is with Him. So whatever happens here is secondary to what happened, what is true for you. Now you can do the best you can in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they're for good and not for evil. Just before that, he was saying to them, well, you live in this land, and I can say that to us. While we live in this land, while we're waiting, while we're still here waiting to be with the Lord forever, you know, do the best you can. Make it go well with the country you live in. But that's kind of the attitude we have. We don't belong here. This is not our eternal home. We're here, the scripture says, as aliens and strangers in a land. Something came to me the other day. I was pondering the church. And I was pondering how the church has become unequally yoked with the political system in our country. The scripture is very clear to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The church should not make an alliance with a political system. We should not, because in the end of the day, that political system will alter our faith. We need to have faith in God. He is our only hope. It is not about putting our hope in anything else. For God puts in and God takes out. Put your hope in Him. Put your trust in Him. He's the one who will lead you down paths of righteousness. He's the one. If you hear Him and obey Him, He will lead you to do things even on this earth. But get your commands from Him. Get your marching orders from Him. He's the one. There is no other for us. Here's a little test for you. If you are not able to love equally people from all political realms, if your love falls short for people that are of a different political persuasion than you, if your love is not the same, you may be unequally yoked. Love of the brethren is not an option. Love is not an option. It's a command of the Lord. In fact, it's a test. In John 3:14, it says, "We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." And I know that there are brothers out there of a different political sway than me. My love must be the same. Now our flesh looks at it differently. Our flesh, did you know that the flesh is under the law of Moses? And when you're under the law, you can be a good judge. And your flesh loves to judge. In fact, I believe that it all got started when Satan says, "If you eat of this tree, you'll be like God." They ate, and they said, "Why don't you take a break, God? I'll take over from here. I can judge this thing just fine." Your flesh loves to judge. The judgmental attitude is something that's in our flesh. Love, on the other hand, is in the Spirit. The Spirit is under the law of Christ. The law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Okay? The flesh is under the law of Moses. The Spirit is under the law of Christ. And I can happily say that the Spirit bears the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit in you, you can't wait to be patient. You can't wait to love. You can't wait to bear with somebody. The Spirit wants to do that. Now, where's your confession, may I ask? Are you confessing things of the flesh? Or are you confessing things of the Spirit? Are you living by the Spirit? Or do you make opportunity for the flesh by your own confession? How's your confession? You can test it out by what comes out of your lips. If you start confessing who you are in Christ, your behavior will line up with that. For life and death is in the power of your tongue. Paul was very upset that certain Jews had slipped in and put the Galatians back under the law of Moses. Why? Because it gave life to the flesh. It did not give life to the spirit. It only brought up again the things of the flesh. Galatians 2:19 says, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." That's a true statement for every believer. That's your life. My life is in you, Lord. Do we believe that? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourselves. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you are that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So it's a good thing to walk by the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing because when you do that, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Again, the love of God, which you received when you were born again. The spiritual man has the love of God in him. You have the love of God in you. You can love with the love of God. And it's not because you can work it up. By faith, you can release that. By our confession, I have the love of God in me. That's a confession. Too often we believe in our hearts, but we don't confess with our lips. Too often our faith is a quiet faith inside of us somewhere. But we don't speak it out. We need to be speaking. We need to be actually saying who we are. Not just, in fact, it says salvation comes through our speaking. You can believe in your heart and you're justified, but by confessing, you find salvation. By speaking it out. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing. When you speak it out, you then give faith to others because they hear it. They hear it being said. You might even hear your own words. And it might even build your faith up. What's the desire of the flesh? What's the desire of the flesh? To gratify me. Whatever is good for me. My schedule. Does my schedule suit me? Or do I fit my schedule to suit others? My life. Is my life surrounded around me? Or is my life there to help and please others? The scripture is pretty clear that the Spirit in us does not think about ourselves, but thinks about others. That the Spirit in us thinks of others as more important than ourselves. That's what the Spirit in us is like. And I'm happy to say, that's who you are. That's how you like to live. The Spirit in you loves to live that way. In fact, the Spirit in you grieves when we think about ourselves, because the Spirit and the flesh are in opposition one to another. First Peter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You ought to quit sinning? So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. What's this suffering in the flesh anyway? Another quote from Don Fotenhauer. Jesus didn't come to hurt you. He came to kill you. He came to put an end to it. I never get came and come right, huh? Anyway, you can change the O for an A anytime you want, okay? And vice versa. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. And the only way he could do that was to crucify it at the cross. The only way he could do that was to take that old man, that Adamic nature, that person of whom you are and who your flesh is, and crucify it and put an end to it. Why did Jesus say, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross daily? I'm telling you, this message is not good for the flesh. This is not a good message for the flesh. In fact, if you're in the flesh, you're probably suffering right now. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who puts to death the deeds of the flesh is a suffering. You can't mortify or crucify your flesh without suffering a little in the flesh. It's not about the aches and pains. It's about reckoning yourself dead. Reckoning yourself dead. So we live by the Spirit for the will of God, because the Spirit is always doing the will of God. Now, you have to understand that Jesus didn't put you to death to leave you in the tomb. There was the Resurrection Sunday, of which we all get to enter into, and that is who we are. We have been born again, and now we have eternal life, never to die again. The Spirit you have in you is eternal. It'll never die. Second Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all die. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Who's dead and who's alive? I'll tell you what. When Jesus died on the cross, it was over. There is no hope for the flesh. It's done. In John chapter 5, Jesus says, the dead shall hear my voice and live. And just so we didn't get confused, he goes on a little bit further and says, now, there'll be another time when those who are in the tomb will hear my voice and come out. But what dead is he talking about? Everybody in Adam, for all in Adam, must die. Everybody in Adam dies. When he died, all died. But then who's alive? Those who live. Then it goes on and says, those who live. That's us. What he's speaking about there is those who are born again, those who are alive in Christ, those who have received the Spirit in Christ are alive, so that those who live, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who rose again on our behalf, who died and rose again on our behalf. We're the living. We are the living. In fact, there's only... The only ones living on the earth are those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that's alive. That's the only life there is. So, what do you think the next verse says? Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one, no man, according to the flesh. If we could just do that, we could release more love. You know what keeps us from loving one another? What is it that keeps us from loving one another? Is seeing one another according to our sin. Seeing one another according to the flesh. And letting flesh rule our lives. In other words, letting sin be master over us. Gary Gilbertson, a friend of mine, gave me this example once. In Romans chapter 6 it says, he who is dead is free from sin. He who is dead is free from sin. Well, here's an example. His grandpa he raised cattle, and they'd have calves, and every once in a while, a calf would come out, and it would appear dead, and they would do something to try to get it to come to life. And of course, if it was dead, it was dead. But there was a trick that this grandpa learned that worked pretty much for every calf to bring it. If it had life in it, it would bring it to, and what he'd do is take a straw and he'd run it up the calf's nose and kind of wiggle it around. And there's so many sensitive nerves inside the nose that calf couldn't, it would bring it around. Well, I'm telling you, we live in a straw-infested environment. And if that straw is sin, and you're not dead, you react, and your flesh comes alive. He who is dead is not affected by the straw. You can run that straw in all you want, and that calf did not come back if it was truly dead. But if there was some life in there, it would come alive. It would come alive. He who is dead is free from sin. We should see no man according to the flesh. Jesus became flesh for us. We saw Christ according to the flesh. He became flesh for us for a time. And He took that flesh to the cross and put it to death. We don't see Christ that way any longer. That's done. Finished, over. Christ died once and for all. The flesh has been dealt with. Judgment has come. He put an end to our flesh so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We no longer live according to the flesh. We live according to the Spirit. We confess with our lips who we are in the Spirit. For it's by the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. You cannot identify with the flesh and beat the flesh. You must identify with who you are in the Spirit and believe that so that you can put to death the deeds of the flesh. The victory is in the Spirit. And the next verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And that's who we are, the new things. The old thing is the flesh. The new thing is the Spirit. You know, it said of John the Baptist, Jesus says, of anyone born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But anybody who has been born of the Spirit is greater than he. Your flesh will never, ever compare with the Spirit. Not even close. Not even close. First Corinthians 15, the first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so are all those who are earthy. As is the heavenly, so are all those who are heavenly. Just as you have been born in the image of the earthy, you shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All those who are born again are heavenly. You're a heavenly person. You're no longer an earthly person. Sometimes we need revelation of that. How do we walk this out on this earth? The old is from earth, the new is from heaven. Now the Spirit in you is working at transforming your mind and causing you to see yourself as a spiritual person. The Spirit is constantly working in you to cause you to see yourself as a spiritual person. The Scripture itself is spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit, it becomes a dead work. With the Spirit, it comes alive. It's spiritually discerned by spiritual beings. The flesh can't get the revelation. It just can't get it. That's why Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't get this from the flesh because you couldn't. Jesus knew he could not get that. It took the Spirit revealing that to Peter. We must see ourselves as a new creation in Christ. Romans 8, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Pretty clear language here. Not not too hard to even discern this one. But the revelation is, how do we die? We died with Christ. He's the one that put us to death. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. But notice what it says. But if by the Spirit, you can never quit sinning except by the Spirit. No amount of trying to follow a better rule of life will ever get you to stop sinning. You can only stop sinning by the Spirit. If by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So where's the life? Where's the life of the body? It's in me. It's in you. We receive life from one source. You don't get life from any other source than Christ Himself. Sometimes we want to go someplace to get life. Well, you're not going to get it. The only place you get life is from Christ in you. He's your life. He's the living. We have life because of Jesus, not because of anything else. Only in Him. Whatever you do by faith is counted you as righteousness. Whatever you do in the flesh, whatever. Now, I'm saying whatever you do in the flesh is sin. Whatever you do in the flesh is sin. I don't care what you can line it up with. Whatever you do in the flesh is sin. Whatever's done by faith is counted you as righteousness. Whatever isn't of faith is sin. The Bible says that. Your flesh is not able to please God. Life comes from following the Spirit, not the law. And finally, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Whatever you keep your eyes on, you will follow. If you focus on the law, you'll give life to your flesh and prove yourself a sinner. You know, it says that in Galatians, right? If you rebuild that which was torn down, you only prove yourself to be a transgressor. So if you build up your flesh again, you will prove yourself to be a sinner. And if you focus on the flesh of another, you'll prove them to be a sinner. Don't take long. Just look at their flesh. We had a person in our church once that come to me and said, "I can see everybody's sin. Would you just let me tell them?" I had to quote to her former pastor's wife, Joanne Mathis, said, "People that can see sin in other people have a gift. It's called discernment of the obvious. To see someone in Christ takes spiritual eyes. To stop seeing people in the flesh and to see people in Christ takes spiritual eyes. To start seeing who people are in Jesus takes discernment. To see people in the flesh, well, that's an earthly kind of concept. To see people in the Spirit, that takes spiritual eyes." You know, Jesus said that, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see." But then I haven't heard many sermons on this. The next verse he says, "And that those who see should become blind. The Pharisees who were around them said, are we blind too? And Jesus had a profound statement. He said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. That's the last part of John 9. To see someone in the Spirit takes spiritual eyes. To see someone in the flesh takes fleshly eyes. If you focus on the Spirit, you will follow Him and you will not gratify your flesh. You've been set free from the law of sin and death to become bond slaves of Christ. Follow me, Jesus said. Our flesh has been crucified with Christ, and we must let it suffer there. You might want to check this out. Is your flesh suffering? Good. It's a good thing. When your flesh suffers, it's a good thing. Do not quench the Spirit, but rather let Him have His way with you. His plans are for good. The Spirit will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Guaranteed. Your flesh, on the other hand, will lead you down paths of sin. And it'll never please God. So, we're spiritual beings. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You're a spiritual being. Now, are you going to be bold? You know, start out in your closet if you have to, or someplace, but start confessing who you are according to the Scripture. If it's really Christ that lives in me and my life is in Christ, then I should be able to confess with my lips what Jesus does. I'm a patient person. I'm a loving person. You are. You are. I tell you, the Spirit is in you. And that Spirit is true and it's alive. Whatever the fruit of the Spirit is, you are. Start believing it and start confessing it. But you say, well, but I wasn't very patient yesterday. Yeah, your flesh wasn't. But are you going to identify with your flesh or are you going to identify with the Spirit? If you want to be victorious over the flesh, you must do it by the Spirit. You don't have to be arrogant, but believe it and say it. Your boast isn't in you. Your boast is in Christ. He's the one. If you have anything good in you, it's because of Christ. It's not because of you. So your boast, when you say that, in Christ, I am loving. But that's who I am. Sometimes we get confused who we are. The church has a spiritual identity crisis. But we need to get through this to the point where we are victorious over sin. But only that can only happen by the Spirit. Only happen by the Spirit in you. And that will happen. Because Christ has finished His work and you can enter into that and believe it. Lord, I just pray that we as a small little body here, Lord, could grab on to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. and bring others into victory over sin by the Spirit of God. For in you we cannot sin. In you we will not sin. In you we have become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Father, I pray that none of us would fall short of what you have accomplished for us through the cross. That we would all enter into everything that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to first of all see ourselves as a spiritual being having an earthly experience. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless. God bless you. We're on a journey. And you're on a journey. We're all on this journey together. And hang on. It's only going to get more fun as we go.